It is on. Well, good morning to all of you out there in video land, and welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren, as we do, and I'm glad to be back with you this Sunday. We have a few things to cover. If you were watching the Facebook posts, and maybe not everybody that watches YouTube's on Facebook or whatever, Greg is back there. Next Sunday, we're going to put a picture of Charles up so that those of you who may not know who you're connecting with may see him. But I come to you today because I've been promising to talk about this. We started out a journey, and we have asked you to look inside what you can do to help to get Charles a house. And we're going to round this thing out come the end of the month. And I am able to stand here and report to you today that between the family here and the family wheresoever you are, we stand at a total amount right now of $2,154 on the way to the $4,500 that we need. Amen. And we still got a little ways to go, but that's a big amen. Say it.
Amen.
And we're looking forward to that. And Charles, I know you watch these. We're coming for you. Well, I'm not coming over there, but we're coming to get you. Well, that don't even come out right, does it? Our scripture today comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the first 8 verses. And while you're looking that up and getting situated and opening your Bibles, I was at an emergency room this past week. And I was there visiting when suddenly I noticed that there was an elderly doctor, and he was the chief of the emergency room, and a younger doctor, and they were consulting, and the younger doctor went in to one of the rooms where I happened to notice a woman of advanced seasoning. Notice I didn't say old woman. And advanced seasoning was in there, and I was talking to someone when suddenly the woman started screaming and ran from the room. She ran out with her family in tow, ran past the chief doctor, ran out of the emergency room, screaming. And the guy, the older doctor, ran after and calmed her down and finally learned the story and came back to the younger doctor and said, "What in the world, man?" He said, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "I know that woman personally. She's 65 years old, and the news that you delivered to her, how could you do that?" He said, "What do you mean? How could you tell that woman that she's pregnant?" The younger doctor looked at her and said, "Does she still have the hiccups?" I'm terrible. Sorry, Martha. I know. Couldn't resist that one. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the first 8 verses. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." May God add His blessings to this scripture as we seek Him out for the sermon, needle and thread in prayer. Would you please join with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You. We ask that as we seek You through these words, we are reminded they are Yours, not mine. That we are lifted up, Father, by them. That we are made whole and we come with a little bit more understanding, a little closer walk with Your Son, and a little bit more filling by the Holy Spirit. Father, we need You so much, and we pray that this will teach us, lift us, and guide us. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, and all of his children said, Amen. At the beginning of the Bible, where everything starts, we read the following words. And to Adam he said, Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Cursed is the ground because of you. And so it starts, the needle and thread. From that moment, we learn of pain. I hate to talk about it because that's all it seems like that we live in the world today. I had to go Thursday and have some shots put in my knees where they pumped a bunch of fluid in there trying to get them to straighten out. And it's a pretty serious endeavor with what they do. It takes two people to do it. One to hold down on my leg and pull it apart. And for 2 days afterwards, it hurts. And we live in this world of pain because of something that took place. And we focus on it. And in the moments when the pain becomes the greatest, we lose sight. His name is Dr. Paul Brand. And for those of you who don't know that name, Dr. Paul Brand was a noted, sought-after leprosy expert. He was the chief of the rehabilitation branch of all things, the leprosarium, in Carville, Louisiana. This man walked among the lepers, cured the lepers, doctored to the lepers, ministered to them, told them of his faith. And one night, it finally came to his realization, he thought he had contracted leprosy. Dr. Brand arrived in London one night after an exhausting transatlantic ocean trip and a long train ride from the English coast. He was getting ready for bed and had taken off his shoes, and when he pulled his socks off, he discovered he had no feeling in his heels. None. To anyone else, this would have meant nothing, but to Dr. Brand and what he knew, the lack of this meant that the numbing had started and he had contracted leprosy. Dr. Brand was world famous because of his restorative surgery on the lepers in India. He had convinced himself and his staff at the leprosarium there was no danger of infection from leprosy after it reached a certain stage, and yet here he sat with the heels numb, knowing what was going on, and it terrified him, and the pain of what he was facing began. In her biography of Dr. Brand, 10 Fingers for God, Dorothy Clark Wilson says, he rose mechanically, found a pen, a needle, sat down and pricked the area below his ankle and felt no pain. He pushed the pin in deeper until blood showed. Still felt nothing. He knew, he supposed, like other workers with leprosy, he had half expected it, that he would contract it. In the beginning, probably not a day had gone by without the automatic searching of his body for the telltale patch, the numbed area of skin. At night, the great orthopedic surgeon now tried to imagine his new life as a leper, an outcast. His medical staff's confidence in him shattered by this disaster, his forced separation, which was imminent from his family. He had come to know pain without any hope. Pain. That feeling of total and complete helplessness, of separation. Everyone in this room, everyone staring through the lens at me watching this, will understand what pain is. All of us do. And all of us have something that reaches out to us and reminds us of it daily. You see it everywhere you look. I watch the things that come out on social media sometimes. Some of the sayings like, if you miss your father in heaven or your mother in heaven, repost this or say something about it. Because people hurt. And we live in this world that deals with pain. And why? Again, to Adam, he said, because you have listened, Genesis chapter 3 and the 17th verse, to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. That's our God talking to Adam. That's our God telling us that I am going to show you the pain now. Now, how can you, Paul Leatherman, as a preacher, as a minister of the gospel, who's supposed to be delivering all these messages of flu-flu and happy-happy and kittens and puppies and happiness, stand up here and talk about that? Because I will. Because if you choose to ignore it, you have forgotten what being a Christian in today's world is. It is hard. It is pain. It is toil. It is work. And the needle and thread dance begins every day. When I wrote this sermon, when it came to me in thought, I began to think to myself, how in the world? Because I don't even remember where it came from. I was looking at something or watching something, and I saw a needle and a thread, and I began to think about it. And when I got done, I thought, when I start this sermon, I've got to make sure that you understand that it's a sermon about pain. There's a lot of pain underway right now. I'm sorry, but that's how it is. I don't care which side of the aisle you walk on, there is going to be pain. And the questions will start, and they've already began. They've even come from my mouth. Why? Why? I don't understand this. How can this be happening? Why is this? This is my favorite one. Why is this being allowed to happen? Has anybody ever said that in this church right now within the past week? Say amen. Amen. And I'm looking. And that goes for you too, looking through this way. Because I'll know when you're lying because your lips will be moving. Don't tell me you ain't said that. How can this be allowed to happen? We are Christians. We are right. We know what's right. We read the Bible. We walk that straight and narrow. We are Christians. Didn't you see the symbol on the back of my car? I don't have any on the back of my car because, quite frankly, the way I drive, I don't want anyone to know I'm a Christian. Why? Why do we have to suffer this pain? Why? Why do we have to do that? Jesus already died. We've read it. He suffered for us. He suffered for us. He already did this. And yet, we still have to suffer? It's telling to me, and it's funny to me, that, and for those of you out in video land, you weren't here when we were talking about, but a member of our congregation who is a farmer was almost done his harvest of corn yesterday and broke his combine. And what could be more telling than for him to tell me that story as we approach this? We will toil against the ground. We live in pain. And the needle begins to bring the pain. So then what? C.S. Lewis said, pain is not good in itself. He said, what is good in any painful experience is, for the sufferer, his submission to the will of God. And, for the spectators, the compassion aroused and the acts of mercy to which it leads. That's a pretty profound statement. When he says, Pain is pain until it drives you back to the will of God. I can remember when we had to take the boys to go get shots. Oh, they hate it. Still hate it to this day. We'd hold on to them, right? And all of you who have taken a kid to go get a shot knows what happens, right? They put their arm around your neck and they try to cut your airflow off. No, don't let them do it. Don't let them do it. And you're standing there trying to be all cool, right? Because your eyes are bugging out and you're stopping breathing. And the kid is screaming in your ear. And here comes the doctor or the nurse with a needle that's about this big. And that's how big it looks, right? And the kid's like, no, Daddy, how could you? And they're coming for you. And they're screaming and you're holding on to them. And you're like, why do they have to get this shot? I don't understand that. And the doctor comes in and the kid screams and then stops when he pulls the needle out and they put the little cartoon Band-Aid on. And the kid, after they tried to kill you, looks at you and says, that wasn't so bad. Can we get ice cream? Of course you can get ice cream. There's that moment. This scripture, go back to this scripture for a moment. I chose this scripture because I don't think it gets read enough. I read the scripture at funerals. It is a synonymous set of scriptures with funerals because it's a seasonal scripture. It's telling what must happen. It's not saying will happen or could happen. King Solomon, in his absolute boundless wisdom, writing these words, says, this is what will, what must happen. There will be this, there will be that. And there is a time for all of it. I would like to start reading it at weddings. Tell the couple, pay attention to it, especially the one that said there is a time to listen to your husband. Isn't that in there somewhere? I am going to pay for that one, I know. It's a time to be born, a time to die. And he goes on, he says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, which means there is a time that you will be in pain. There is a time that the needle will move and you will be in pain. But there is a time to heal. King Solomon writes these beautiful, beautiful words. There was a song made back in the 60s of it, right? Who did that? Peter, Paul, and Mary? Is that who did it? Nobody know? Is that right? There is a time for everything. I love that song. You know, my father, who makes me laugh, and I know he's going to watch this, and I'll get a phone call from this. My father grew up in the 60s, and my father always makes me laugh because my father was always kind of, you know, straight and forward and everything like that. But yet, you go down and you look through some of his albums, man. His albums, 33 and a third, records. And he was a Peter, Paul, and Mary fan. And I'm like, you're a hippie. Oh, boy, he loves it when I call him a hippie. But I can remember listening to that stuff growing up. There is a time. On the other side of everything that we are staring down the barrel at, we need this direction. We need this reminder. We need to pay attention to verse 7. There is a time to tear and a time to mend. A time to heal. A time to mend. Oswald Chambers, in his book, Run Today's Race, said, faith for my deliverance is not faith in God. Faith means whether I am visibly delivered or not. Now listen, I will stick to my belief that God is love. There are some things that are only learned in the fiery furnace. There are some things that are only learned from pain. It's simple, isn't it? When was the first time you burnt yourself, right? Right? You don't do that anymore. Well, you try not to unless you're me. And then you just don't learn that lesson. How about the first time you shocked yourself with an electrical outlet? You don't do that anymore, do you? Of course you're still doing it. I did it this week. Or the first time you decided you'd try to do something knowing that it wouldn't work. My favorite is, I'm going to drive to work today on my spare tire. Did you get your other one fixed? No, but it'll be all right. Boom! We learn. We grow. We see the thread. The writer in Genesis shows us the beginning of the words that King Solomon wrote. In Genesis 3, verse 20, Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. And verse 21, then God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Now it's time for the thread. I'm telling you, and I love Linda Strike for this, and I've got to share this. She brought me a needle and thread, and she loves me, and she knows me a little bit too well. When you look at this, and she brought this to me, and you know what she said to me this morning? This is a Christian woman that said these words to me this morning. She goes, I brought you one that was already threaded because I knew you wouldn't be able to do it. Well, what can I say? You're right. Look at these potato grubbers. But when you look at a needle and thread, you see the pain and the healing. When I was younger, my mother, Mom, determined that I would learn how to sew. Now, sewing is for girls. You understand me? That is not what a boy is supposed to be learning at 12 and 13 years old. Sitting in front of a sewing machine, trying to feed that through around and do all this stuff. No. I was meant to be in the field. I was meant to be in the shop. I am a boy. But my mother said, no, you're going to learn to sew. And I learned to sew. I entered stuff in 4-H. I won awards. I still have some of the garments that I made. And guess what? They've held up. Ain't no way I can wear them now. I learned how to sew. Now, I'll grant you that I've forgotten most of it. I still, to this day, when somebody says, hey, do you know how to thread a bobbin on a sewing machine? Yeah, call my mother. Now, she knows how to do it. And they make one of them automatic bobbin threader things. And I got one of them things and promptly broke it because I couldn't understand it. Do they even still darn socks? My mother made me darn socks like this. And I asked her one day. I said, you know they make socks, 6-pack, $1.50 down at the Benjamin Franklin, right? Why am I doing this? She said, so you'll learn something and you'll know something. And she was right. I learned to understand the needle and the thread, the pain and the healing. When I strove to put these thoughts in my mind, I was struck by what sewing really is. It's the needle and the thread. It's the taking of the pain and using that to unite. It's using something that punctures, followed by the thread that unites. Do you understand where I'm coming from yet? Are you starting to hear the words of King Solomon yet? Yes, there is a time for pain. Yes, we are going to go through it. But brothers and sisters, we are bound together by the thread and the needle. I understand that we are in a time right now that a lot of people are confused about. What happened this past week is what happened this past week. There's nothing that can change, truthfully. We have to understand that we live in a world that is justified by its own means. That's the way it's been. And don't give me that nonsense about it's gotten worse. No, brothers and sisters, it has not gotten worse. It has always been worse. It has been worse since they bit into the fruit. It has never been, oh, this is more bad than this time or that time or this time or that time. It has always been hard. 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, When we start talking about the things that are going on today, 2,000 years ago, a king so scared of what was coming to his throne, to the baby Jesus, had them kill every male child under a certain age to stop him from coming. And he came anyhow. And he lived and he grew. We need to start reminding ourselves of our blessings. That in the middle of the pain, there can still be joy. Author Leo Bagsciuglia, and I know I didn't say that right, tells a story about his mother and their quote-unquote misery dinner. It was the night his father came home and said it looked like they would be going into bankruptcy because his partner had absconded with the firm's funds. His father sat down at the table, a broken man, crying because he knew the family would be ruined. His mother went out and sold jewelry and bought food for a sumptuous feast. Other members of the family scolded her for it, but she told them, "The time for joy is now, when we need it most, not next week." Her courageous act unified the family. From the pain, she threaded them together. I know that as we look toward the coming time, we will still be lost. We will still be in wonder. And yet the one thing I know is we will still be Christians when we speak His name, when we glorify His name, and we will be blessed by Jesus Christ. And with Dr. Paul Brand, who sat terrified knowing that his life was over, Dr. Paul Brand, which incidentally passed away back in 2003. This is not an old story. His appreciation of the importance and the value of pain is described in his 1993 book with Philip Yancey, Pain, the Gift That Nobody Wants. He saw pain as vital for the preservation of healthy tissue in anyone leading a normal life. In other words, in order to understand the value, you would have to go through the season of pain. He now realized that the leprosy that he was trying to cure would become his life. At night, he tossed, he turned, he prayed, he hoped. In the morning, with clinical objectivity, doing his testing as he's supposed to, with steady fingers, he bared back the skin below the ankle, reared back, and jabbed the needle into his ankle. Suddenly, the pain was there, and he screamed out in pain. As tears of joy flooded down him, he began to realize that during his long train ride, sitting immobile, he had numbed the nerves that went down to his heels. From then on, whenever Dr. Brand cut his finger, turned an ankle, or even when he suffered from agonizing nausea as his whole body reacted in violent self-protection from mushroom poisoning, he was to respond with fervent gratitude, "Thank you, God." There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. There is a time to be born and a time to die. Time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. The needle and the thread. While we are all bound under the pain of it, we are also bound under that which unites us. And what is it that unites us? Hebrews chapter 13, the words that I want you to write down and carry with you this week. The fifth verse. Because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. Verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are the needle and thread. Let us love, let us be thankful, let us be ever mindful of that which He did when He suffered for us to bring us the thread of healing. The needle and thread. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We ask that as we are going through this alleged time of pain, this appearing to be pain, that we are reminded that we are forever stronger, threaded by You. We are reminded, Father, that Your Son walked willingly to death to save us. We are reminded, Father, that His death, that pain, united us, drawed us together, sewed us one to another, the continuing thread that will never stop from now until eternity. Let us be strong in knowing that in all of the things that will come at us, Father. Let us be blessed from it. Let us be lifted by it. Let us go forth with it. Let us just think on the needle and thread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have a particular need, I invite you forward. Those of you in prayer land, as I've always said, out there in video land, get a hold of me if you need me, or find someone close to you that you trust that knows the Bible. Reach out, and may God bless and keep each and every one of you.
Please stand and turn to page 799.
God watch over, keep, and bless us. May we be reminded of what we're tied together with, the blood of Jesus Christ, who watches over and keeps us, now and forevermore. Go in peace and know you are blessed. Amen.